He is risen. Hallelujah. Do you know that there's, I think, about 3.5 or so, maybe more, because some are hidden, billion Christians in the world worshiping today all over the world for 24 hours. Every hour of the day, there's somewhere in the world that someone's worshiping God. Amen. You're a part of a massive company. Almost half the population of the world is worshiping Jesus today. Amen. You ought to be excited about that. Yeah. That's extremely exciting. You know, this week I read something very powerful. Especially one statement. President Trump made a proclamation. That's pretty significant. A proclamation. That's something written down for history, for all the nation. And in the middle of that proclamation, he said this. He said, this is the most powerful words the president has spoken in a long time. He said, this week, we prayed for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our beloved nation. Our president prayed for an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on our nation. And then on Wednesday, in one of the events that they had for prayer and worship, he said, I and the First Lady Melinda Trump are praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this nation. Two times he said that. He's praying as the leader of our nation for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on us. That's awesome. Just let that sink in for a minute. He made a nationwide proclamation. He didn't just passively say this to a little prayer group with 20 people. He made a nationwide proclamation that the Holy Spirit would fall on our nation. Holy Spirit, come. Bring your healing, bring your power, bring your love, bring your conviction, bring your grace on us today, on this nation today. Let this be a day that we begin to live in the resurrection power of Jesus. Yes. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Wow. Just say a thank you to President Trump for sharing the conviction of his heart with us. Wow. So I'm here to proclaim to you today that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead. And he is the eternal Son of God who was dead but now is alive forevermore. And he reigns eternally in the heavens. He reigns over everything that exists, seen and unseen. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the mighty God. Maybe the immortal verse that the angel said to the shepherds, he is not here, he is risen just as he said. Wow. He is risen. And you know, this week we've remembered the triumphal entry of Jesus into the king. We remembered the Lord's Supper. We remembered the rest of the trial. We remembered his beating, the torture, the stripes that he bore, the horrific passion of Jesus on the cross. His sad death and burial quietly in a tomb. And of course, the bone-chilling fear that the disciples felt. And then finally, the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. And starting in the book of Acts, from the very beginning, they preached Jesus as the resurrected Lord. And all the way through the New Testament, that was the message they gave. Jesus is Lord, and he has risen from the dead. And I don't think that we really fully grasp the impact it had. It wasn't a little girl that Jesus raised from the dead. That wasn't impactful. Or Lazarus, that was pretty impactful, but not nearly what this was. This was Jesus being risen from the dead to live forever. The first fruits of a new creation, of which we're a part. In Acts 2:32, the first sermon that Peter preached, he said, this Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. And then in Acts chapter 4, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. They preached the resurrection of Jesus. They could have preached his life. They could have preached his crucifixion. They could have preached his death, his burial. But they chose the resurrection. The resurrection is the greatest miracle that has ever happened in the world. It's the central theme of all of Scripture. The resurrection. It was proof that God accepted the sacrifice that he made. It was proof that the resurrection of Christ, that in him we have everything we need. It forms the cornerstone of our faith. It forms the foundation of our belief. It made a decisive difference in history. There's a sense in which the destinies of all human beings are tied to the resurrection of Jesus. In Acts chapter 17, we read this verse, because he, that's God, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That's how we know what's going to happen. How we know that everything God said, all of his promises are going to be fulfilled because Jesus rose from the dead. The future, judgments, God fixing his relationship with us in the world, all of it's connected to Jesus' resurrection. There's only one ultimate authority in the world, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. He has been set free from everything that could hold him back. He's been set free from the consequence of sin in the world. He's been set free from the corruption. He's been set free from death. He is free, and he's free to act and to move and to do. In Romans chapter 6, verse 9, it says, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. We are sure. And he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Jesus is alive. There's lots of religions in the world, but there's only one that has a living Savior in it, and that's ours. Jesus is alive. And he is not going to die again. Nothing prevents him from acting. He is the supreme commander of the world. He's not passive. He's going to be active. And he's active today, and he's been active. He has risen and free to act eternally, unceasingly, without limit. Death and its effects can't hold him back. No power of the enemy can stop him. History is shaped. It is controlled by the resurrection and the liberty of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, in the resurrection, God says, I set my yes upon Jesus. The world judged him and said, no, we don't want him. No to Jesus. No to what he taught. No to what he believed. No to everything he stood for. But God said yes. He said no. Well, he said no to that no. He said, that's not what's going to happen. I say yes to Jesus and everything he did and everything he is. He put his stamp of authority on Jesus. Wow. He said, everything he does and everything he says, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm saying. He is a perfect representation of me. And there's victory in the cross. Victory in his life. It wasn't like the resurrection was just an afterthought. You know, just, well, maybe it's going to happen. Maybe, you know, it'd be probably good if we raised him from the dead. It wasn't just a happy ending or optional extra. It was the very core of what God was doing. It's an inescapable bursting forth of his reality into the world. Jesus is alive today. Every part of his coming, we celebrate. Every part of it. Every part was necessary, but the resurrection was the crowning victory, crowning point of his coming. There's so many scriptures I could read. I could read like It starts with John chapter 11, verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And all through the Bible, there's verses about the resurrection, about the living Christ coming for us. It says in Romans 6:5, for since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his, a new life that it imparts. Wow. I like what Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Wow. You want to know the power of his resurrection? So are you really who you say you are? Let me ask you that question. Some, you know, it's a, basically this, right? It's a valid question to ask. Are you really who you say you are? You know, every day you have to prove that, don't you? You have to put your password in a cell phone and say, that's who I am. You put your password in a website. You give your password to this. You give your password to that. You put your fingerprint on your phone. Every kind of way you can communicate, this is who I am, you have to do. And it wasn't any problem, it wasn't any different with Jesus. He was doubted all the time. If he was really a prophet, he would know the kind of woman who touched him. If he was really a rabbi, he would wash his hands before he eats. If he was really the Messiah, he wouldn't be from Bethlehem. He would be from Bethlehem. Even when he was dying, he was doubted. If you're really the Christ, come down from the cross. But let me tell you, I know he died and he was buried, but I also know that he really did rise from the dead. He really did. Paul says to the Corinthians, Jesus is who he says he is. And so he asks us the same question. Are you really who you say you are? Are you really living a life worthy of calling, of the calling that you have received? Are you really living as believers in the world? Is the resurrection really making a difference in your life? That's what I want to know. I say, Jesus is alive. He is risen from the dead, and everybody cheers. But is it really making a difference in your life? If it's really true, your life should show it. Yeah? Think about that. Are you really who you say you are? Because if you aren't living a Christian life as if Christ was risen, then it doesn't matter. If you're preaching life but choosing death, it really doesn't matter. But the thing is, you know, the enemy is really good at holding up things that look like life-giving but aren't. All kinds of stuff. You can name almost anything that the world holds out. It may look like life, but it's really death. Where is death hiding behind the facade of life in yours? Of life in your life? Jesus is who he says he is. Are you who you say you are? Are we preaching life and choosing death? We can't do that. We have to really be resurrection people. We have to live from the resurrection of Christ. It matters. It happened then, but it's going to happen again. The resurrection came when Jesus rose from the dead, but that's not the end of it. He said, you're going to be resurrected too. Wow. Wow. It isn't just a past event. It's a past event, but it's also a future event. You will be raised incorruptible, imperishable. And because of that, Jesus said, it's important that you live a resurrected life now. God wants you to have a resurrected life today. He wants to raise you up now. So today, stand firm. Be steadfast, immovable. God is up to resurrection now. He wants to dust off the self-preservation that we so often carry. The addictions, the lies, the laziness, all those things. He wants us to stand up as believers and say, Jesus is alive, and so are we. So are we. We don't want to just go out and preach the resurrection. We want to live it. We want to come out of the tomb and walk in life. We want to shake off death and move into his life. Jesus is alive, and we get to live like people who have been raised from the dead, because we have. We have. Jesus is risen from the dead, and so are you. Amen? Jesus is who he says he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to play a video as a closing, just as a reminder of how powerful his life is.
Save us from ourselves, oh hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen Savior. Oh, let's give him a shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Put your hand in your heart this morning and receive from him the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Up his countenance upon you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Go in his grace.